Payne and Pendergast with you, with Brandon Scott in place of Seth Payne. Seth out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. B. Scott will be in. We've got training camp coverage for you beginning at 6 a.m. on Wednesday. The Texans hit the field, and we're off and running. The 2025 season, already in year three of the D'Amico Ryans, C.J. Stroud era.
Time flies when you're having fun.
It does, man. And it has been fun. It's been a fun first couple years, and this should be a hell of a training camp. A lot of new faces, but a lot of old ones as well. And looking forward to having all that coverage for you, not just on the on Sports Radio 610 and on the Odyssey app, but obviously be following all of our social media as well. And we'll have you covered morning, noon, afternoon, and night.
Yeah.
Here at Sports Radio 610.
And we're on TikTok now. Since I'm, you know, you're talking about it, I do want to mention that we've been on TikTok for about a year now, trying new things, trying to reach a new audience.
Give us a follow.
So if you're on TikTok and you didn't realize that Sports Radio 610 is on there, you can get clips from the shows on TikTok. We do that.
I think that Dana Brown's best decision this year was one that Seth and I were actually privileged enough to see the very first seedlings being planted.
That's right. Y'all were up
spring
there.
Training.
That's
we were right. Up there in spring training for a week in late February, and we saw Cam Smith's debut where he hit two home runs. We actually ran into his mom outside the ballpark after the game with his grandmother and another woman who I think said she's his aunt, yeah. But might have been one of those close friends of the mom who just calls herself
sure
Auntie Barb or whatever.
That works.
But we ran into them, and they couldn't have been nicer people. He continued throughout spring training to just lace the ball everywhere. Yeah. Cam Smith, he was awesome, and created a lot of debate as to whether or not he should be on the team coming out of spring training. I would imagine if you had taken a poll at the beginning of spring training before that debut, should Cam Smith be on the big league roster coming out of spring training? People would have said, hell no. He's played a couple months worth of minor league games in the Cubs system, and that's it. He's 22 years old. You don't want to ruin the poor
right,
kid.
Right, you don't want to ruin him, which logic I hated, by the way, but is, at least at the time, conventional logic.
But And again, this is before I had seen him swing a bat. I would have said, no, don't do like you're right, conventional wisdom says don't do that.
Yeah.
I think if you had still taken a poll, even as spring training wore on, certainly there'd be way more people than initially that said he should be on the big league ball club coming out of spring training. At the very least, he showed that he could hit what in spring training is the equivalent of like upper level minor league or bad major league pitching, but he hit it well. He had like an OPS in the four digits, and he hit for power and all those things. It was a fairly bold decision for Dana Brown to take Cam Smith back to Houston from West Palm Beach. I think, you know, just with the minimal amount of minor league experience he'd had, and certainly early on this season, it looked like it might have been the wrong decision. He was batting .205 in early May. Like, he looked overwhelmed at times.
He looked like he could use some more minor league experience.
That's the best way to put it. That's the easiest way to put it. He looked like he could use some seasoning in the minor leagues. But then something happened, you know, and I thought they handled him really well, even in the face of criticism from me when they were giving him multiple days off. I'm like, why are you giving him days off? Like, if you're going to have him here, play him. But as it turns out, those days off were things that he could tweak some things. And sometimes watching as opposed to participating helps certain guys. This we know, he's been excellent since, you know, mid-May, June. And right now, where this lineup is, where you're missing Isak Paredes, Yordan Alvarez, Jeremy Pena, Jake Myers. I mean, that's four every day counting on these guys. I'll say stalwarts. I mean, Jake Myers has become a stalwart in center field this year.
This year, yes.
This version of Jake Myers. And the other three are all-stars. I know Yordan wasn't this year, but he's an all-star caliber player. If you hadn't kept Cam Smith up here, I mean, what are you trotting out there? I mean, you're probably trotting Cam Smith out there, but not the version that allowed him. Cam Smith would probably be on this team by now, just given the spate of injuries that they had. Bryce Matthews is here.
You didn't even mention that Chaz McCormick had been hurt. That would be a candidate for right field, right? Mm-hmm. If there's no, let's imagine this world where Cam Smith doesn't exist or he doesn't come back in the Kyle Tucker trade.
Yeah.
Who are some of the prime candidates to take the mantle in right field? Chaz would have to be one of them. And he's either been hurt or not good for most of the year.
Well, for most of 2 years now.
Yeah, exactly.
But especially this year. That's a great point. This Cam Smith thing, if we're going to give Dana Brown props, and that's what I'm doing here, I think his most important decision has been not just the Kyle Tucker trade, because you're kind of bringing that in, and that should be mentioned. Like, yeah, Dana Brown also, you know, this isn't somebody he inherited from James Click and, right. or Jeff Luno, and you're deciding to bring him up. This is somebody you went and made a mandatory element of that deal. We're not doing this deal unless Cam Smith is part of it.
Drove a hard line.
Yeah, so to drive that hard line, to dig your feet in and say, we're only doing this trade if we get Cam Smith. And then to, in the face of many critical folks, to say we're going to bring, he's going to be our starting everyday right fielder, and we're going to roll with the punches with this thing. And then to roll with the punches. There would have been GMs that would have used that start for Cam Smith as an excuse. I think in a weird way, I think the biggest thing where they put themselves out over their skis with having to keep Cam Smith was that video they did announcing him making the team where they had his whole family in town and whatnot.
Yeah. That video had his family come in and tell him.
Walk into the clubhouse. Yeah, yeah. Like, that video looks seriously stupid if you send him down to Sugarland.
And Chaz is in that video too, by the way.
He is in that
video. Just looking like, oh, what's happening to me?
Exactly. I think this was his most important decision of the year. Given where this team is right now, given the injuries, you look at that lineup, and yesterday notwithstanding where you got contributions from everybody, let's face it, day to day you look at that lineup and they trot that lineup out there, you're like, man, if whoever's starting for the other team on the mound, if whoever's the starting pitcher, if he can just keep with this lineup, Altuve, Christian Walker, who's hit better of late, God, who else?
Cam Smith.
You know, like, that's like Cam Smith, maybe Yiner. Like, the rest of it is
Dubon's
just. Dubon's had moments. Caratini had a nice weekend.
Yeah.
You know, but like.
He's been DHing for one of your, because he's a switch hitter, one of your few left-handed batting options.
Again, other than Dubon, maybe, none of these guys are starting for you in a game where you got to put your best lineup out there. Dubon is in, you know, like, Dubon is probably in your best lineup even when you have all those guys healthy.
Yeah.
Because second base, when you had Altuve in left field, second base was Brendan Rodgers.
Yeah.
But Cam Smith and what he's becoming and what he's become, I mean, his season numbers are in the 270s, somewhere like that. Like, he's, what he is right now is what he's been since the month of May, and that's a guy who's a consistent 300 hitter right now for this team.
I think it was a bold move to put Cam Smith on the roster, given his lack of minor league experience and how soon it's been since he was drafted.
Yeah.
But I think just from looking at him play or watching him play, it was bold, but you could follow the logic in that decision and say, hey, okay, well, he's making a bold move, but we get it. The part that I thought was just really, really ballsy was the position change, saying, hey, we want him in this lineup so damn bad that we're going to try him out there in right field in a place that he's never played, and he's not an outfielder by any stretch. But we think he's a good enough athlete and a good enough baseball player to figure it out, to where we're going to let him figure it out in the major freaking leagues.
Yeah.
The guy's hit before, and he might just be ready to hit. Okay, some guys are ready before others, and so maybe he's gifted in that way. I could see that. Moving a guy from third to right and not doing it in – the grapefruit, or just, you know, just in spring training, or doing it just in the minor leagues, but saying, hey, no, on our opening day big league roster, that dude's going to be the right fielder. Like, that combination of decisions makes it even more bold and even more impressive. But this is the thing about Dana Brown that I want to point out that I love is sort of manifesting itself. This is scouting guy GM.
Yeah.
If there's nothing else that Dana Brown knows how to do, if he don't know how to negotiate a contract or understand the value of a contract and arbitration and all that, he should know a damn good baseball player when he sees one, because that's how he made his bones.
Yeah.
That's how he came up, was as a scout. He's a scout, right? So the fact that he would have the foresight to know, you know, Cam Smith, I can see this translating to the big leagues and being something that we absolutely have to have. You got to give him credit for that.
Well, and to know, and nobody knows anything in the moment. It's all just predictions and probabilities that guys are going to make it. But to have the gut instinct that even if he gets off to a slow start, it's not going to ruin this kid.
Yeah.
You know, he scouted him when he was at Florida State. So he, you know, even though he got drafted by the Cubs, he had plenty of intel on him. And obviously, before you make the trade for him, you gather plenty more intel that you need to before you make that move. And I'm guessing everybody that he talked to said that the kid is mentally, he's a very strong player.
Yeah.
The ups and downs are not going to phase him the way they might your garden variety minor leaguer. And a great point too, B. Scott, on playing right field. Like, it's not just that he put him out in right field. He is a good, very good right fielder.
Yeah.
He, like, the how That's the thing that fascinates me the most about Cam Smith is he seems to be a quick study. Like, he's become a really good right fielder fast. He in going through the ups and downs of hitting, came through it. Like, he's evolving at like, you know, when you play a podcast at like 2x speed, he's like a podcast at 2x speed right now. He's progressing as a major league hitter at 2.5x speed right now.
And it's why I really appreciate Dana Brown going against the conventional wisdom, because he didn't just take the conventional wisdom and say, oh, well, guys typically aren't ready this soon and he's going to need some seasoning. He looked at this isolated situation, looked at this individual player, say, hey, I understand what conventional wisdom says, but what about this guy?
Mm-hmm.
What about this particular guy? What does my eye tell me? What does my data tell me? What does all the information that's available to me tell me about this particular guy? Not the previous guy, not the next guy, this one.
Yep.
And made this determination. You got to give him credit.
No doubt. Texter, I was one of the people who said bring Cam up a month into the season to get that extra year of control. That is a separate argument, I think, that getting the extra year. And that's fair, and ultimately that may come back to bite them, that they don't get that extra year of team control of Cam Smith down the road. My feeling at the time about that was you're in a championship window.
Yeah.
This is not making decisions on George Springer to manipulate his service time to get the extra year where you're not really winning anything. Same mindset, but also this is not manipulating Yordan Alvarez when you have such a stacked team that you don't need him until June to get that extra year. And ultimately, they signed Yordan to a contract extension, made it a moot point. But this Astros team is sitting in the middle of that.
Yeah.
They're not so bad that they can manipulate service time by just leaving better players down there. And they're not so good that we've got good enough guys here already where we're going to win 105 games. We can thus manipulate service time of our best minor leaguers. They're in the middle where even before all these injuries, it was all hands on deck. You know, they lost Bregman and Tucker, you know, and they've been losing guys every year.
Given where you are at this stage or wherever we are in the window, whether you think it's closing, we're deep into this thing now. Given where they are, where the Astros are right now, where is Cam Smith more valuable to you as the Astros fan? Let's forget Dana Brown for a second. To you as the Astros fan, where is Cam Smith more valuable to you in this window? On this team right now or on the hypothetical team 4, 5, and 6 years from now that we don't even know what that team is going to look like?
Man.
We're talking about manipulating the service time.
Yeah.
Like it's more valuable to me. Today is more valuable to me than 5 years from now as it pertains to Cam Smith specifically.
Yeah,
I still care about the Astros in 5 or 6 years if I'm still here.
My love of fried foods.
Come on now. Let's be real. Exactly.
Am I worried about year 7 of Cam Smith?
Come on. The way I eat them blueberry muffins, man. Let's be real, man. Yes. I'm worried about it right today.
Someone's asking, did I see John Singleton yesterday in the dugout? Yes.
He's there, man.
He's back.
He is back.
Back. That was the other big thing. The two biggest takeaways from that week of spring training that Seth and I went to was A, Cam Smith. B, John Singleton looks like he's getting ready to go on the Mr. America circuit.
That's right.
If he doesn't,
he slimmed yoked. Down. Yeah,
he just looked in shape.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was
like he was trying to make the team.
Like he
Right.
Right. 12 years in, he's like, you know what I need to do? I really need to have an off season program where I get in shape for this baseball.
Now's the time to do it.
God, I hope he gets a shot, man. I'd love to see John Singleton. Hey, they're 1-0 with him hanging out in the dugout. Yes, Texter, that is who you saw in the dugout.
I just love that he's like the cat with the 9 lives, man. This dude will not die. I respect it.
The only players that have ever been on the Astros 3 times, you may have heard this on the broadcast yesterday. Callis had this. Are both on the team right now.
Whitcomb?
Nope.
You don't mean being brought up.
I don't mean being brought up and back. Like major league stints where they left to go to another team and came back.
So Neris.
Yeah.
John Singleton.
And that's it. Those are the only two in the history of the team to have 3 different stints like that with a team where they've left to go to another team and come back. At least that's how I heard it yesterday, is that the only three that's happened. Dude, text in if you were watching the broadcast and you heard that. Did I hear that right or am I butchering this?
Lifelong Astros.
He was jacked to come back. I saw an interview with him and Julia Morales. He was very excited to come back.
I don't know if they go in any kind of team Hall of Fame or anything, but there should be a special little window for guys like that, or a little special section for guys like that, especially as they played on these teams. They're really good. So.
Cam was in the leadoff spot on Sunday. Someone texted that in. Okay. Did I say he was in a different spot? That's always my reaction. Where did I say? Yeah, he was in the leadoff spot. He's the only place he hasn't batted this year has been the three hole. He's batted in every other. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
That's almost as crazy. Remember, I feel like Dubon could do this if he wanted to, but there was a player named Jose Oquendo back in the day.
Oh, yeah, I remember Jose.
He used to
Oquendo.
Play for the Mets and then the Cardinals. I think he did this for the Cardinals, but he played, I think they may have had him do it in one game, but throughout the course of a season, he played all nine positions at one point. I think he even came in and threw a garbage inning in a blowout, but he played all nine positions. That would seem to be almost easier to do than batting in all nine batting slots, or at least in the similar improbability phase.
Yeah, in terms of improbability. Yeah, to do eight of the nine, and again, it cannot. I just can't forget about this, or it's not lost on me. Guy has no experience.
Yeah,
for the most part, just no experience, and is out there like he's an 8-year pro.
And I say that, and people are going to go, "Well, Sean, there's only a few guys in baseball that they'd even have the skills to play all nine positions," which is true. But how often within a single season do you look at somebody and say that that's our nine hole hitter, and then a month later he's batting cleanup for you, or later in the season he's batting leadoff for you? Like those are almost as different, those spots in the batting order, as some of the positions are defensively.
Right. Most of the guys that bat seventh, eighth, and ninth, you wouldn't dream of putting them as your leadoff
or cleanup.
Because there's a reason why they're there.
Yeah.
Now it also does feel less likely that you would both pitch and, I know they do it in high school, but in the major leagues, that you would have a season or even a game where you would pitch and catch. It seems kind of wild.
The pitching element would obviously be you're in there in a 13-1 game and you're just, you're just trying. Oh, good. That's exactly what I heard, Sean. Okay, good. So I didn't get that wrong. Yes, you're right. It was just Neris, but now it's Singleton with him getting called up because he was with the Mets organization.
Okay.
So he was with the Mets organization. I guess you got to leave the organization and come back to be part of this conversation.
They know where home's at.
Yeah, absolutely.
There you go. Yeah, three-time Astros. I like it.
Yep. All right. The biggest story of last week was not a sports story. Was this the most costly, really bad decision that somebody's made with something that is undefeated throughout the course of time? We will have that for you coming up next.